Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham. And in just in time for the holidays, Anne Kittredge is back. Hi, Anne.
Hello.
And last time Anne was here, she was here talking about her album. God, it was like more than a year ago, your album, Romantic Notions, which was in my top 10 list for top 10 vocalist albums for 2024.
It was actually in your top five.
It was in my top five, yes. It was a wonderful, wonderful album.
Thank you.
Amazing album. So if you have, if anybody has not heard that album, you should go back and find it and listen to it because it's terrific. But Anne is back just in time for the holidays because she has a brand new holiday album out called You Slay Me, which we're going to talk about. It's from King Cosmo Music, and it's very fun to listen to. And I thought it would be great to have Anne back to chat about that just in time for the holidays. So talk about how you got inspired to do a holiday album this year.
Well, listen, everyone has to do at least one holiday album, don't you think?
Yeah.
It's, you know, first of all, these holidays coming up are extremely important to my family. It always has been. Both my husband and I were raised, you know, it was just a really important time of year. We've kept that tradition going with our kids. And when my husband and I first got married and we were as poor as church mice, I asked a friend of mine, Wendy Bobbitt. She is now, like at the time, we just graduated from college. She is now this big music conductor on Broadway. She's doing like everything. She's a good friend of mine. We went to school together. And I told her, I said, Bob and I have no money to buy Christmas gifts. I said, would you consider, like, you know, going into a studio and just like in one day, just like, you know, throwing together some Christmas songs, and we'll put them on a cassette tape. Back in the day, it was cassette tapes, and that would be our gift. And so that's what we did. We went in and we did the entire album in 6 hours.
Oh my God!
It was actually pretty good. Considering everything, it was actually pretty good. But it just became this thing in the family because everyone got one, and it just became, you know, this thing like, oh, we have to listen to Anne's holiday album, right? But it wasn't professionally done, obviously. So after those first two albums that I did for Randy Klein, King Cosmo is a subsidiary of Jazz Heads, he has this, I'm gonna share a secret, a business entertainment little trick. He believes, Randy Klein, who runs Jazz Heads, he believes that all musical recording artists should have at least one holiday song running for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So even when I was putting out Reimagine and Romantic Notions, I was in there doing singles, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to play over the holiday. And this year I was like, I might as well just do an album. I mean, you know, it was initially supposed to be an EP.
Uh-huh.
But when Jazz Heads loaded it up to whatever they loaded up to, they said it's too long for an EP. So like we're like in the middle, like we expected it to be an EP. We're just a little bit too long. So it's an LP, but really it's an EP.
Well, I think it's an album. I mean, it's 8 tracks. You know, I mean, some albums are 10 tracks, but an EP, I think an EP is like 5, you know,
yeah, well,
somewhere
that's what
between
they're saying.
Like 4 to 5 tracks is an EP.
That's what they said. That's what they said. I was
yeah.
like, oh, because it could have been timing too. Like I thought if I kept it under 25 minutes, but it's not, it's 27 minutes. I mean, it's just everything is like, but you know,
cares? You know, exactly. And these days with digital and with streaming, you know, it's not like the old days where an LP could not be an album, like a vinyl album was like 45 minutes max. You know, it couldn't be more than 45 minutes. So
that's right.
You know, so there was real limitations. And then when you got to CDs, I think it was like 72 minutes or something like that. There were always limitations. But now with digital, you can do as many tracks as you want on an album. So, you know, what difference does it make? And if you like to sing and you want to sing 8 songs, 10 songs,
Well, you know, it's like I just read a review about the album today. It came out 3 weeks ago, but I didn't know it. I had no idea. It was a really good review, but they did say that one thing that really disappointed them about the album was that it was too short.
Ah.
They said no. And I actually, you know, I want to address that. Well, I already did about the EP and LP thing, but also, like, I can't underproduce a track.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. If I'm going to go all out and go into a recording studio and create arrangements and all this different thing, then I'm not going to underproduce it. It's going to be the best it can be. I'm not going to overproduce it either, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so, you know, on this album, we've got harp, you know, we've got cello, we've got clarinet. I mean, and so it's a money issue too.
Right.
It's, you know, okay, I could do 12 songs, but I wouldn't be able to fully produce each track.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah. There are certain limitations in terms of time and budget and things like that. And that sometimes dictates how many tracks you can do, you know, uh-huh. Exactly.
Snow, 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 snow. It won't be long before we'll all be there with snow. Snow, I wanna wash my hands, my face and hair with snow. A path and lift a spade with snow. Oh, to see a great big man entirely made of snow. Where it's snowing all winter through, that's where I long to be. Snowball throwing, that's what I'll do. How I'm longing to ski through. Houses that seem to be built of snow. Oh, to see a mountain covered with a quilt of snow. What is Christmas with no snow? No white Christmas with no snow. Snow, I'll still be there with snow. I'll wash my hair with snow, and with a spade of snow, I'll build a man that's made of snow. I'd like to stay up with you, but I recommend a little shut-eye. Go to sleep and dream.
You know, I want to talk about the whole task of putting together a holiday album because it's quite a challenge to come up with something different, because it's not like putting together a regular album, because you automatically, when you do a holiday album, and I've talked to other people who put together holiday albums, and I do this every year because inevitably I have at least one person on every year who's putting out a holiday album. This year I've got like two people on who are putting out holiday albums. And it's not quite so easy, because as soon as you say, I'm going to put together a holiday album, you've automatically shrunk the catalog of songs that you can pick from. Because with a regular album, you've got a huge, infinite universe of songs to pick from, original songs and standards and show tunes and, you know, thousands upon thousands of songs to pick from. But with a holiday album, you automatically restricted yourself. You can do originals, but there are a limited number of new original holiday songs.
People don't want to hear original songs. They
right.
want to hear what they've known for
yeah.
the last 100 years.
Exactly. And
not that there haven't been some good songs that have come out in the last 3 years, but seriously, it's like, you know, that was the advice I was given, actually, because my first two albums are very unique to me. You know, they're very eclectic and I hope interesting. Someone who knows me musically said, try and be a little bit more conventional on this album.
Well, you want it to be conventional, but you want it to be reflective of you as an artist. Right?
Yeah. And I think this, I think we found a good balance on this because, you know, and I also have a great creative team. So whenever I'd start going off on a limb, they'd be like, Anne, let's kind of try and stay a little bit more relatable. Okay. Because my mind just automatically goes there, Donald. I'm just attracted to, you know, the next possibility for what a song could be or mean. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just where I naturally go.
So then go back and talk to me about what was your process in terms of picking your songs, because you do have standards on here, but they're not necessarily just all the traditional standards.
No, they're not. No.
Right.
They're quasi standards, but they're not. Well, so for instance, the most Wonderful Christmas Time.
Mm-hmm.
I actually recorded that 2 years ago. And I sent it to Randy Klein as my contribution to Christmas that year. And he hated it. And I was so disappointed because I loved it. And so I said to him, I said, okay, we'll put it aside now. I said, but I promise you, when I do a holiday album, it's going to be on the album. So when I started thinking about this year, we went back, we tweaked the arrangement, the track, we tweaked it, but ultimately it's the same thing. And when I sent it to Randy, you know, because he knew that I really wanted it on the album, he said, Anne, he said, what didn't I like about it 2 years ago? He said, I really like this now.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, good. Well, you know, 2 years can make a difference. Okay. So that was one that had to be on it.
The mood is right, the spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Party's on, the feeling's here, that only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The word is out about the town, so lift a glass and don't look down. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
I come from a very Christian family. My closest cousins is a priest. It's been a very important part of my life. However, I have to admit that I, about 30 years ago, I started practicing Buddhism.
Uh-huh.
And so as I was trying to choose the music for this, I wanted it to reflect my spirituality and not just generic Christmas spirituality, if that makes any sense. And I knew it only I knew it would only matter to me. I don't think anyone's going to listen to this album and go, "Oh, she must be a Buddhist." But every song to me, I felt really spoke to that, including "What Child Is This, Mary? Did You Know?" Because that track just kept growing and growing. You know, when we got the idea of, you know, of the arrangement being with harp and cello, it was like, really, we're going to have a harp in the studio? Like, we're really going to do this, you know, and all this. But to me, that track is about motherhood. It's about the dreams that you hope for your children.
Uh-huh.
And also Buddhists, or anyways, the kind of Buddhist that I am, we all incredibly honor Jesus. We think he was phenomenal. You know, we may not think of him as a godlike figure like some people, but we 100% feel like his life and his message is to be celebrated. So I don't feel like it's in any way that particular track is in any way counter to what I believe. I don't think it is at all. I think it's very much, you know, celebrating him and his mother.
Uh-huh.
So that's how that came about. And then, you know, I wanted an original song. So we did this Each Ornament Has a Story, which was written by Randy, who was the head of Jazz Heads. And he was really funny. When he initially asked me to record it, he didn't say this when he initially asked me to record it. He just said, "I really think you're perfect for this." And we recorded it. And then he said, "Oh, Anne," he said, "do you know why I wanted you to record this?" I was like, "I think I'm about to find out, Randy." And he said, "Well," he said, "because sometimes when you sing, you sound so much like a mother." He said, "And I really wanted that sensibility to the song." And I was like, "Okay, I think that's a compliment."
I think what he meant was because you bring the life experience to the song. And I think that comes through when you sing a song that you had the life experience behind. And yeah. I think that translates to the interpretation.
Yeah, I'm sure. Of course that's true. Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really liked the song too. I thought, practically every single ornament on our tree has meaning for us.
Right.
And so I totally get that Each Ornament Has a Story thing, like totally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a show. Do you know who Doris Dear is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was doing she does a holiday Christmas show every year. I love it. In New York City at the Triad. This year it's December 19th and 20th. It is one of the best Christmas shows you can possibly go to get in the spirit. Just fabulous. We've been going for years. Anyway, the show last year, Doris Dear said on stage, "You know, each ornament has a story." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, you know, you need to sing this song." And I thought, see, it's not just me, like everyone. I think we all have at least one or two ornaments that have a special meaning. Mm-hmm. And it's not just put on the tree to put on the tree. And so I think it really speaks to people.
A tiny Santa, wooden reindeer, icicles made of glass, a shimmering pine cone, a cotton ball snowman, peace on earth, etched in brass. Some sentimental, some for fun. How can I choose just one? Each ornament has a story, reminding us of a Christmas gone by. As we gather around the untrimmed tree, they come out of the box with a Christmas memory. Each ornament is precious, a treasure worth more than silver or gold. Candy canes, figurines, baubles, and bells, each one is a gem for the Christmas tale it tells. This one's from your first Christmas, when you stared wide-eyed at the glow. This one's my gift to your father, given with a kiss beneath the mistletoe. This one I bought at a yard sale. Pull the string, it's a dancing toy. This one was made by your grandpa when he was just a boy. Each ornament has a story. Hear them whispering from a branch high above. If you listen, you'll hear their story. Stories of life. Stories of laughter.
I think it's a family thing, but it's also a personal thing, because I even found that to be true just for myself, because I know Christmas always used to revolve around family for me. But then as I got older and, you know, my parents passed away, and then I started having my own tree and my own decorations and stuff. And originally, you know, and it's the same way when everybody starts with their own Christmas tree, their own tree, usually you start with sort of just your generic Christmas ornaments that Absolutely. you buy a box of ornaments because you need ornaments.
It's Kmart.
Right. You buy like the box of like 25 or 30 ornaments or whatever, and they're all just the typical Christmas balls, and you put them on. But then over time, people start giving you ornaments as gifts, or you go and you buy individual ornaments that you see in the stores, or you're traveling and you see an ornament, and you start adding to your collection. And eventually all those original kind of generic ornaments you bought start to stay in the box. And they don't get put on the tree because they've now been replaced with individual ornaments that you start collecting over time that become part of your tradition. And they all start to have meaning for you because you got them from certain people. You got them from other family members, your best friends. You pick them up on your travels. And so it's true. The ornaments all start to have stories behind them. And those are the ones that end up on your tree ultimately. And they replace those sort of just generic ones you bought originally. They were like filler ornaments. They're just like placeholders until you replace them with the meaningful ones.
You have totally described my life. This is what happened. This is exactly what Bob and I did when we first had our tree. And now it's like filled with all, and it just makes, you know, with our kids, we really emphasized that this was a season of family and giving. Well, receiving was always, we've always dealt with receiving throughout the year because they're birthday gifts too. We were always talking about how you receive a gift. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. But this time of year, we really focused on the receiving. And we were always like, you know, it never should be about how much money you spent. I said, you know, if you wrote your dad and I a letter every year in your handwriting, you know what I mean?
Right.
That would be so much. That would be the most incredible gift you could give us. But to really emphasize the giving and the sense of family. And And I think that when we were choosing the other songs in the album, I think I kept wanting to keep that feeling, that warmth. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wanted warmth. I wanted charm. I didn't want people to work hard listening to it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I wanted it to be accessible. Because when you have all those things, it contributes to that sense of family during the holidays, as opposed to, you know, just background music. I mean, it gives a little bit more meaning, I think.
Right. Yeah, because I think one of the things that's nice about having a holiday album in your catalog is that holiday albums are perennial albums. Definitely. You know, they are an album, and I've talked about this with other people, is that, and I always found it very strange that with other albums that we purchase, whether you buy the physical copies like all these that I have, you can see in the video, but they're out and available for us. But so many people I know, their holiday albums, whether their CDs or vinyl, are always packed away with their Christmas stuff, and they're put away in boxes, and they don't even come out to even get played or listened to until it is Christmas time or the holiday time. And they're like, so you aren't even allowed to listen to them unless it's the holiday season, because they're like stuffed away in a box somewhere. And I've always found that very strange, because for me, all of my holiday albums are with my regular albums. I mean, I have them with my regular albums because I consider them albums. Yeah,
I agree with you. I don't think we pack away our Christmas stuff either. But to your point, 2 weeks ago, I had my release party for the album, mm-hmm. but because it was a holiday album, I didn't want it to be a typical release party. I really wanted it to be something more. And so what I decided was that I was going to invite other people who have already released holiday mm-hmm. albums in the past, whose albums I love, mm-hmm. And invite them to come and be a part of the celebration. It went gloriously. And as part of my gift to the audience when leaving was, I had created a Spotify playlist with all of the songs, not only that they heard from the show, but intermingling all of the different albums that they heard songs from.
Right.
Because to your point, it's not only put in the box seasonally, but even artists who have holiday albums are forgotten. Or, you know what I mean? Like you don't always think to get those, because you've got Bing Crosby every year, and you've got, you know, mm-hmm. my mother and Mario Caruso, and you know, so how do you get the new but equally wonderful
right.
interpretations and tracks? So and actually it went so well that it might become a yearly thing. I might be doing this every year, which is just getting a bunch of people who have in the past released holiday albums and having a night.
I think that's terrific. And I actually, you know, I did that last year on the radio show. Last year on the radio show, what I did was, there were, you know, quite a few new holiday albums last year, but I did tracks from several of the new holiday albums last year, but I also said, oh, and just a reminder of some of the really great holiday albums that have been released over the last several years, and played tracks from those also, just to remind people, you know, because in the old days, I remember growing up that because I actually worked in a record store, but in the old days, in the record stores, they would get a shipment of holiday albums, and there was a catalog of holiday albums, and they would bring out it wasn't always just the new ones, they would bring out the old ones. And you could buy the old ones still too, because they would just repress them, and you could get the ones from 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And people would buy those because they go, oh yeah, yeah, I forgot about that one. I never picked up that one. I should buy that one this time.
And let's face it, there's a lot of crappy Christmas music and holiday music out there. There really is. Yeah. There's a lot. And not only that, I am, you know, I am one of those people who I have certain albums that I grew up with that I still listen to. They bring Christmas to me, right? And it's just what it is. But I've also found as I've gotten older and I've expanded my musical experience is there is so much good stuff that takes a song that is very familiar and with total accessibility comes to you in a different way.
Uh-huh.
And it's just refreshing enough that you fall in love with it. I mean, that's what's been happening to me the last few years is I've expanded and I've gone, oh my gosh, that's a really great rendition of that. Very different maybe from the traditional, but not disrespectful or not unmusical. Like there's a lot of that. Let's face it, Donald. Like, you know, sometimes you're just like, oh gosh, you know, it's not even elevator music, but yeah. So I really, you know, Brent Barrett, I don't know if you know who Brent is.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Brent Barrett, Karen Mason, Jeff Harner and Paul Rolnick. Paul Rolnick is a composer, but he's had a bunch of his Christmas music recorded. So I invited him to sing one of his songs, but those were the people. And, you know, next year I've already got performers vying. People have reached out to me and said, oh, could I be part of it next year? So we'll see.
Because the nice thing is a lot of these cabaret and club performers have Christmas albums and they go out and they, you know, during the year, they're don't normally doing whatever their new show is every year, but they, during the holidays, they march out there and they do holiday shows and they oftentimes have a holiday CD that are selling because they recorded it several years ago and they're still selling those CDs because they're perennial sellers. And, you know, people are, oh, and I do the same thing. I, you know, every year I look to add at least one or possibly two brand new holiday albums to my collection. And I buy the physical CD if it's available on CD. I buy the CD and add it to my collection. And if I can't find one that's new this year that I like, I go back and kind of research and look and see if there's one I missed over the past couple of years. And I go out and buy that one because I'm always looking to add at least one every year, you know, because there's all sorts of new artists and stuff that I miss. And they're putting out holiday albums and they're fantastic stuff, you know?
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long ago. There'll be much mistletoeing, and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the
I was going to ask you about some of your family holiday traditions, because I think I read that you guys have a pretty active Christmas Eve, right?
Oh, we do. So, yeah. So when we first moved into this neighborhood, we've been here now 23 years. It's a beautiful, beautiful neighborhood in Queens, New York. And as I mentioned, we're Buddhist, but we still celebrate the spirit, the love, you know, the appreciation for Jesus and all he did in his life and all of those different things. You know, his birth, we know he was actually born in April or May, but, you know, it's okay. You can celebrate your birthday anytime you want. So all of that I'm fine with. But typical to the way my husband and I were raised, because we both came from Catholic homes, is it is such an enormous Christian holiday that you're not going to get your Christian friends to do much with you. They've got their traditions on Christmas Eve. You know, they're probably going to be going to midnight mass or whatever, but anyways, the way I was raised, it was pretty well set up that from Christmas Eve through Christmas Day, it was all about family, like 100% about family. So we knew that we were new to the neighborhood. We knew we weren't going to be able to necessarily celebrate with some of our Christian friends, but we wanted to. We wanted to have, you know, a gathering. So that first year, we thought, well, let's invite all of our Jewish friends and our Buddhist friends. So we thought, you know, that will be, and it started to become a tradition. And then, of course, a bunch of my Christian friends proved me wrong. And after a few years, they started coming to our party. And so it just grew. It just kept growing. And our neighborhood, for over 100 years, have these traditions that are just remarkable. One of them is that one of the men's club members gets into this incredibly tacky sleigh, mechanized sleigh, and rides through all the streets of the neighborhood. And so that children can run out and yell out and say, Santa, Santa, you know, and all this. And he's, you know, he's ho, ho, ho. He goes, they have Santa's helpers who go to individual homes with small children and bring gifts to them on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And then at 7 o'clock every Christmas Eve, our neighborhood congregates like Whoville in this area we called Station Square. And we sing carols, Christmas carols, as a community. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, candles, everyone's holding candles what is that holiday drink that people have? It's not eggnog. It's
the cider. You mean like mold or mold?
Yeah.
Mold.
Yes. Yeah. Mold, yeah. They have the mold cider, and it's phenomenal. And then our tradition used to be that we would come home and everyone's first gift for Christmas was new pajamas. So we put our pajamas on Christmas Eve. They got them Christmas Eve. And then, you know, we'd get the kids to bed. When they were young, they insisted on sleeping together. They had to be in the same room together the night that Santa came. Don't know why, but that's what they did. And then then Bob and I would, you know, spend as long as it took us to both clean up and, we also read a Christmas story every year. And then, we'd be up for as long as it took. And then the next day we would not get out of our pajamas. That was the big day was Christmas Eve. We had traditional foods that we have the exact same meal Christmas morning. And what I love more is now that my kids are older, you never know if they're going to keep any of the traditions. And so far, they're like, if we don't do a tradition, if we're saying, oh, we're not going to do that this year, they're like, what? Why aren't you? And we're like, oh, really? You like it?
Is music, is holiday music part of it during Christmas Day?
Oh, tons. Oh, my God. The Christmas music doesn't really stop for about a week leading up to it. I mean, this house is 2 weeks. From the month, our tradition is we put the tree up 2 weeks before Christmas and leave it up 2 weeks after Christmas. Uh-huh. So we have a month of the tree. And the first day that we allow any extensive Christmas music playing in the house is the day we put the tree up. So then from there on, it's Christmas songs. I mean, I have playlists that are like hours and hours long. You know? So not a lot of repetition, but and then, of course, at the party, it's all through the night. And then, of course, you know, the community getting together to sing carols.
Right.
It's so old fashioned, and I love it.
and I'm assuming the playlist probably spans decades of recordings.
Oh my gosh, because I was raised on Mario Caruso. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, you know, Bing Crosby and all of that is in there, but also so is Pentatonix and so is Karen Mason, you know, and so is, what's that group that I really, really recently, I can't remember. I'm not remembering, but it's one that I found last year. As you said, you look for new. So one I found last year and I went, oh my gosh, I'm in love with it, but I can't remember the name of them. I'm sorry. But yeah, it's eclectic. Donald, that's my middle name. I just love eclectic music.
That's so funny. So when a listener is finding your new album, which we should remind people, it's called You Slay Me. Slay, of course, a play on words. It's S-L-E-I-G-H. When somebody's playing You Slay Me, what are you hoping that they get from the album? I mean, what kind of atmosphere or mood should they be getting from the album?
I hope they get a smile.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. I want a smile.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the smile also evokes warmth. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of fun on the album, but I also think there's a lot of heart. And there's a lot of honesty. And I think that you know, if people just smile and go, oh, then I would be very
well. And also, one of the things I talk about with the holiday albums is a lot of people put them on as sort of background music at parties, but I kind of find that they never really are background music because everybody knows
it. Yeah,
everybody knows the songs, so yes. People are either like humming along to it, or you hear people kind of muttering the lyrics under their. I mean,
Isn't that kind of funny?
I mean, it's kind of funny because you intend it to just be background music, but if you put it on too low, to be like sort of
real, put it up a
yeah, people want to turn it up because they want to hear it, and it's sort of like, you know, because everybody has a favorite Christmas or holiday song they want it, so they want you to turn it up. And it's so funny because it really can't be background music, but it can't really be too loud because you want people to be able to talk. So it's sort of interesting how it works. It's not like your typical cocktail party background music at a party.
No.
You know, but you don't want it to be the main attraction at the party. So it's interesting how that works with holiday recordings.
I love that. You know, I've never thought of it that way, but you're right. It's exactly what goes on in your head. You're listening, you're hearing, oh, which song is it now?
Right. Know? Oh, and you're always like, and if it's a recording you're familiar with, like they're playing like the Carpenters holiday album, or they're playing,
gorgeous.
Yeah. Or they're playing one of the, or if it's suddenly a recording you're not familiar with, then you really perk up because you're sort of like, oh, wait, I don't know this one. Who is this? Who's singing? Who's the singer? Who is this person?
Well, that's only if they're hearing it at a party, because like you said, like we're kind of get glued to the same stuff. And so it's like, it's good that people like you and I, we're always looking for that one new one every year.
Well, and what I generally do, I mean, and what I do, and I think that's probably what you do as well, is if I have when I'm doing a holiday party and I want music in the background, I generally will mix up the playlist so that we're not listening to album. I mix up all the tracks so that we're listening. So we're going from different singer to different singer to different singer to different singer. And so people are getting a nice mix of different artists. And inevitably, I'll have somebody come to me and pull me aside saying, who's singing this? Who is this? Who is that? And they'll want to know. And I always have, you know, the playlist somewhere printed so people can find it. And I can point them, because I want people to know who some of these artists are, and they can find the album, and they can maybe purchase the album. Because with the radio show, I'm wanting to promote people's albums.
Yes. Thank goodness for you.
Yeah. So I know that you obviously have been busy promoting the album and performing. How's that been going?
Oh my gosh. I just had the most incredible stretch. This fall has been incredible.
Well, because the album came out on the early side. Because I remember when it came out, and I remember you posting on social media that you were like, oh, hey, my holiday album's out. It's a little early, but it wasn't, because it wasn't even, it wasn't even close to Halloween yet. And there was Christmas decorations in the stores. It's like,
well, no, there's actually a reason for that. I actually released mine later than usual. Most holiday albums are released in July.
I released mine
in early September. No, it isn't, because the radio stations around the world, literally around the world, you have to get it to them in order for them to include you on their holiday programming.
Right.
And so there's a lot to do with that. Now, first, you have to have the products. Then you have to, you know, be marketing it out to the radio stations and da 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 da. So it's actually not surprising once you know that. But to your point, it was silly to do anything in September. And so I kind of announced it because I thought, well, I guess I should. I mean, it's the day. But I was like, you know, we'll do something later. And so that has not really been the center of my attention. Up until probably the end of October, and that's when we've been really, the end of October, we started really working towards the release on December 3rd. But I was involved with this wonderful gala honoring Aarons and Flaherty. I sang a song of theirs that they gifted me. It's not from a show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a standalone song, which is rare for them. They don't write a lot of standalone songs. But they gifted it to me several years ago when I was doing a tribute show for them. And so this gala with all of these people from, you know, Broadway, and just some people were from out of the country and all this different stuff. And I got to sing this song, this new song, which isn't new, but nobody there knew it. You know what I mean? And you could feel you could hear a pin drop. Seriously, you could hear, like, you could tell. It's a beautiful song. And it was like, oh my gosh, like it was thrilling. It was thrilling to be introducing this song to that audience. And then I was invited to do the cabaret convention at
Lincoln Center. Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. You weren't there, were you?
No. But I had. But it's always a fantastic event. I had Philip Officer on just promoting his album.
Oh my gosh, Philip! Yeah, yes. Oh yes.
And so I know he was there. Yeah.
Yeah, we performed the same night. So Philip. So the funny thing about that night, it went great. It was. People were touting that it was the best convention ever, and I think they might be right. It was so good. Like I was in awe of the people that I was sharing the stage with. I mean, you know, one of my idols is Anne Hampton Calloway. Mm-hmm. And I just could not believe. I was like, oh my God. I mean, like, just some of the people it was just amazing. But anyway, so I got to do that. But I'll tell you the fun story about that one. I was singing a torch song by Cy Coleman and David Zippel. And I decided to wear a really elegant gown. Mm-hmm. I've worn this gown before to events, but I've never worn it on stage. And I found out after my performance that the dress is completely sheer from halfway down my thigh to the floor. I had no idea it was sheer.
Mm-hmm.
I was on stage with a dress that was sheer for 3/4 of my leg. And mm-hmm. I had no idea until after I sang and we're like, wow. And I was like, what? I had never looked. When I look in the mirror, you can't tell that it's sheer. But when you have lights on you, all of a
right.
sudden.
Yes.
I was like, oh my gosh. So I was very, out there. So I don't know whether they liked my singing or my dress more. But
well, it was a torch song. So
it was a torch song.
Right. So it's okay. It's permissible.
It was pretty funny though. People were like, oh my gosh. And I was like,
that's the lesson you learned.
Oh my gosh.
Is that streetwear and stage wear are oftentimes a little bit different.
Yeah.
And anything you're going to wear on stage, you really need to be really careful. Right, exactly. You have to make sure that it's that with spotlights on you or any sort of light like that on you, it is not going to be too revealing.
Boy, was that. I mean, that was so funny. And you talk about being caught off guard. And then after that, we did a show called When in Love. And it was just a glorious night. It was just so wonderful. And then I did a Jamie DeRoy show. She's been doing these shows. She's a Broadway producer. She's won about 18, 19 Tonys. She's been doing this program, for 35 years and she invited me to be a part of that. That was in November. And then, finally this big thing we did for the album. It was a very busy fall. It was extremely musically rewarding because everything was so different. Mm-hmm. Everything, And I sang in When in Love, I sang a Spanish song, which I don't even speak Spanish. I've never taken a Spanish class, but thankfully my music director is fluent. So we got that going. But it was just it's been a very rewarding season musically. And we'll see what happens next year.
I was going to ask, what does the new year hold for you?
I don't know yet. I may be going back down to Puerto Vallarta. I was in Puerto Vallarta earlier this year, which was wonderful. I may be going back there. I don't know. Honestly, I have to say, it's my 10th anniversary in cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am talking to people at Don't Tell Mama about going back there and, you know, because that's the first place. That's mm-hmm. the first place everybody performs when
yeah.
they start cabaret. And so I am thinking of putting together, a 10-year celebration of that, which would be fun. But otherwise, my husband is retiring.
Oh.
He's retiring in just a couple of months. He's retiring the end of January. He and I are celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations. That's amazing. Yes.
And plus, the holidays. So, I have to get my head back into that after Christmas and start figuring out what I'm going to do next year.
But in the meantime, you can find Anne online. You have a website, right? If I remember correctly, yes. So we'll make sure we put the website on the radio show page so people can find you and see what you're up to. Her new album, her holiday album, is called You Slay Me. Again, I highly recommend you check out her album from 2024 called Romantic Notions, which was, as she reminded me, it was in the top five. Not only was it in my top 10 vocalist recordings from last year, it was in my top 5 vocalist recordings from last year. She reminded me, was a fantastic album, absolutely fantastic album. And her holiday album is a pure delight, and Anne is always a delight to chat with. I'm so glad you were able to take some time and chat with me today.
Thank you so much. We owe you so much. You're just really, you're so fantastic.
Oh, You're very, very welcome.
And I love
welcome.
Your voice. Can I just tell you, I love your speaking voice.
Oh, thank you.
Are you a tenor?
I'm really more of a tenor baritone.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like a baritone tenor. I haven't sung in a long time, so I'm not sure how much of a singing voice I have left at this point.
Probably have plenty left because you haven't used it.
I haven't used it. Yes, I haven't used it. So it's a little out of practice. Anyway, and it's always a treat chatting with you.
Absolutely.
Much continued success. Have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you.
And hopefully, we will have you back soon.
Yay!
We don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love. Love, it's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Another meadow, there are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you wanna know what the world needs now. Sweet love, it's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some. Oh, but just for...